Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Who's he talking about here? Jesus. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's talking about the Father and the Son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And we can be seated. Our Father, tonight as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the goodness of God, for watching over us, for caring for us. Bring us back safely to the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd take us safely back to our homes as we leave here. And dear God, I pray while we're sitting here that the Spirit of God might show us something from the Scriptures, and that we might nail these things down in our heart by the Spirit of God, and Lord, we'll cling to them and hold to them for the rest of our lives. And not only the hold to them, but I pray, Father, we might pattern our life after the Word of God, that we might be a fit vessel to be an instrument of righteousness for your name's sake, that we might point multitudes to the glory of God, into the presence of God, and into the kingdom of God. I pray tonight, Father, that you'd give us liberty and wisdom and understanding. Lord, we realize tonight that there's a difference between wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Lord, help us to have those in the proper place. We pray tonight, God, that we might open the Word of God and use it tonight effectively. Lord, be a blessing to our hearts and lives. We might learn something from your precious book. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, last Wednesday night, I started on this and I talked about the personal names of God. And, of course, we know we talked about Jehovah a little bit. But there's some words put with that word Jehovah. I'll give you these ones we went over and then we'll pick up the others. There's the name Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, and found in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 14. When Abraham was taking his son up on the mountain, and the son said, Isaac did, Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, The Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. And so he named that place Jehovah Jireh. You may pronounce it a little bit different. That's the way I do it. But anyhow, we found out that that's the place the Lord will, or the name that God gives to himself, as the Lord will provide. Then we looked at Jehovah Rapha, which means in the Bible, the Lord that healeth. Now that word Jehovah Rapha wasn't mentioned, but in the Hebrew, you'll find that word Lord or God mentioned there. And it's Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord healeth. And that's where Moses put the tree in and healed the troubled and bitter waters. And we know He is the Lord tonight that healeth. And then we went over into the book of Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 15 and found the word Jehovah Nissi. That's the one we was on when we left on Wednesday night. And that means the Lord, our banner. And He's the one that we fly the flag of America tonight because we are Americans. But we find that Moses, there on the side of the hill, as long as he held his hands up, the battle was winning for the Jewish people, and for the saints of God. But as his hands became heavy, he would lose. But then we found that Aaron and Hur came up and held his arms. And then they made a place, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord my banner. Now turn with me to the book of Leviticus tonight, chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we'll get that third book of the Bible and go to chapter number 20 and verse number 8. We'll get a few of these and go into some other things, and hopefully tonight God will help us. We'll try to take our time and see if we can get some of these things. In Leviticus chapter number 20 and verse number 8, he said, And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Now that is the word in the Hebrew is Jehovah Kadosh, or Q-A-D-A-S-H. You want to put this in your notes tonight. Jehovah Kadosh, K or Q-A-D-A-S-H. And that means the Lord doth sanctify. Amen. You know what the word sanctify is, don't you? Set apart. It's the Lord that sets us apart tonight. Amen. I'm glad that He sets His people apart for His glory and His honor. Let me give you another one. slide over into the book of Judges. These are names that you need to mark in your Bible and keep up with them so that you can at least be aware of them when they come up. Some of you studied these before. You've heard them. Some of you probably never heard them in your life. But look at what he said here in Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. Talking about Gideon. And most of the times they build altars with these names and they call these in reference to God. Verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet at Ophrah and of the, Abiezerites. Now what does that word Shalom mean? Does anybody know what that word Shalom means? Means peace. If you'll go to the Holy Land and talk to some of them folks, and you'll meet those Jews as they come out, most of them will say, Shalom, Shalom. When I was over there, they'd do that. That word Shalom means peace. So you can pretty well figure out what this name means. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord our peace. Amen. He is our peace tonight. His peace, brother, passes all understanding. Sure it does. We could talk about that a while. But we're talking about the terms and the names. We're talking about theology. We're talking about God. We're talking about the doctrine of God. Now let's go over into the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, please, 23. Jeremiah 23. In the Old Testament, we'll move on over into the book of Jeremiah. Let me get there, and we'll see what this one says. In Jeremiah 23, and let's look at this one. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 6, He said, In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called. And if you'll go back and look in the Hebrew, it's going to say Jehovah Sidkenu. I'll say it something like that. I'll spell it to you. And then you say what you want to, all right? Here it is. T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. That's it in the Hebrew. And so that's what it means. It means the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. That's what it means, and so it's that Jehovah word. So you notice in your Bible, those words are what? Capitalized? And you'll see that tonight. And he said it's his name. This is his name whereby he shall be called. So these names tonight are specific of who God is. He's the God or the Lord, our righteousness. Go to Ezekiel now. To Ezekiel chapter 48. In Ezekiel chapter 48, we'll see this one. And get us another one here. Ezekiel 48 and verse number 35 is actually, we'll see if that is the last chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. The Bible said it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, and then it said, the Lord is there, and if you'll look at that Hebrew word, it's Jehovah Shammah, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. S-H-A-M-M-A-H, Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. Now, these may not mean much to you, but if you start talking to them Jews and you say Jehovah Shammah, they know who you're talking about. Amen. You're not Jewish tonight, so it don't make much difference to you. Amen. Matter of fact, you don't even know too much about the Lord is there sometimes. Amen. All right. We'll go on from there. Then let's go over into the book of Psalms, chapter 23, and or back up into Psalms 23. I'll say this in the line. Psalm chapter 23, and verse number 1. Now you know what it says, don't you? It says, The Lord is my shepherd. Now that word Lord, and if you want to look it up in your Hebrew, amen, by the way, the Old Testament's Hebrew, not Greek, in the Hebrew, you'll find Jehovah Raya. R-A-A-H, Ra, Jehovah Ra, which means the Lord my shepherd. Amen. Now these are words, and you won't find them exactly like that, but that's the word that they came from. And so we'll find the Lord is our shepherd tonight. Amen. He's everything for us. And what God is trying to teach him in the Old Testament is that God's everything for all of us. Don't need nothing else. Amen. He supplies everything. Now there's another word in the Old Testament called, and it comes from the Hebrew word El Elyon. E-L, and then E-L-Y-O-N. El Elyon. It's mentioned several times in the Old Testament, specifically, in the book of Daniel for several times, and in the earlier works too as well. El Elyon. And that word El means what? Does anybody know what El means? Means God. Amen. That's what it is. El means God. And Elyon, E-L-Y-O-N, is God again, Y-O-N, which means, Elyon means highest. Amen. And El means God, so it means, Elyon means the most high God. Now we've been studying in the book of Daniel. Do you remember me mentioning about Nebuchadnezzar? He began to recognize God as the most high God. He has called him El Elyon. Amen. Now we, you know, said, well, we don't need all them names. Well, you don't have to know them. But you do know, you need to know tonight that He is the God tonight that is the highest. He's the great God, the most high God, is He not? And then we find there's another Hebrew word called El Olam. El-E-L, and then another word, O-L-A-M. El Olam, which means the everlasting God. He's the God of all ages. And you'll find that mentioned, jot this down, in Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 33. We won't turn there. But Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 33. And then there's another word sometimes that's mentioned by some of the Jews and Jewish people. It's called El, and you probably heard it, Shaddai. El Shaddai. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Turn to Genesis chapter 17, and we'll look at verse number 1. And you can kind of see how it blends in here. In Genesis chapter 17, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God." In the Hebrew, that is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. He said, I'm El Shaddai. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect. That word El Shaddai means tonight that He's Almighty God. That's what it said there, is it not? Amen. El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. You say El Shaddai to the Jew. He says, Almighty God. He knows who you're talking about. You see, the Jew recognized the Old Testament. He don't recognize the New Testament, right? And he recognized the Old Testament. And that word, Almighty God, means the nourisher. It means the strength giver. It means the satisfier. That's what God is. That's what the El Shaddai is. He's the Almighty God. Now, let's go on and study a little bit more about this thing in the doctrine of God and give you a few thoughts here, and then we'll go home. And we got to look at how the system is. This world's messed up. It does not know much about God like God wants them to know God. Some of us don't know God like we ought to know God. Amen. We like to know more of Him. To know more of Him, we have to know, more of Him. Amen. And we have to be close to Him to know more of Him. Now, we just give you some words to put in your vocabulary tonight. Write these down. There's a thing called deism. D-E-I-S-M. You know what deism is? Some of you do. That means tonight that there is a God. That's what deism is. That means there's a God. But deism, which is a thing, we got a lot of isms and schisms, and here's one of them. And deism says that there's a God, but He's not a sustainer. He don't sustain His creation. In other words, He's God the maker, but He's not God the keeper. That's deism. And somebody said, well, I'm a deist. Have you ever heard people say, talk about deist? Alright, a deist is somebody that believes there's a God, but don't believe that God maintains everything. I'm not that, are you? I believe God not only makes it, but He also takes care of it. You know why all the planets don't hit each other tonight? Because we got a God tonight that controls it. Amen. And as a matter of fact, they're more under control than you and me. He can do more with them than He can us. Amen. That's right. Amen. He tells them to stay put, and they stay put. He don't have to get up every morning. God don't go to bed, by the way, in case you always want to think I don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about when we get up, God don't start His day with us and go back all over Him and say, now, Jupiter, you stay where you are. Earth, you stay in your orbit. He don't do that. They'll stay there until God says, change it. Amen. And so everything stays right where it's at. It obeys God. Now God tells you to stay put and you get up. God tells you to sit down and you get up. God tells you to get up and you sit down. Am I right? So we find that that's what's happening. God is under control. Then we find not only is there deism, but there's another word tonight that you know about called atheism. I've got all these isms now. Let's look at it. These isms and schisms. And an atheist, you know what they believe? They're found in Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God called him a fool. I didn't call it. God did. And it's foolish for you not to believe in a God. The atheist says there's no God. I would never believe we'd be in America with as many atheists as we have tonight. I've always heard of atheists in other countries. We've got countries that are built on atheism. Other countries have shut their doors to missionaries and preachers and the gospel simply because they're atheists. They don't believe in a God. But tonight, we're not that supposed to be that way in America, but we're getting more and more. I wouldn't believe years ago that we would have as many atheists in our country as we have today and tonight. Then we have another little crowd that comes along. We call them skeptics. Or infidels, if you want to know what an infidel is, he's a man that's in for hell. Amen. I call them infidels, and that's what they are. And skeptics, they're full of doubt and they're full of disbelief in God. That's what a skeptic is. That's what an infidel is. They're full of doubt and unbelief, and they will not believe, and they got doubt. They doubt everything. And then you have another one that comes along called an agnostic. Now you say, preacher, what are you giving up? I want to see what kind of person you are tonight. I want to find out what category you fit in. At least I'm trying to make you realize where you are. Amen. You say, well, so far I ain't fitting at them. Well, that sure does make me feel better. Amen. And then we find tonight there's people like agnostics. Have you ever heard of agnostics? And their doctrine is called agnosticism. And we've got the agnostics. They're running up and down the country and they said, well, you know what? There may be a God. There just well could be a God, but you can't prove it. You said, but the Bible says, and they say, but that Bible might be from God, but you can't prove it's from God. Well, the Bible says it's from God. Well, you don't know if that's where it is or not. You can't prove it. And they're looking for proof, and an agnostic, he's just hard to deal with. He denies everything, I'll tell you. He said, well, there's a God probably, but you can't know that there's a God. If there is one. You see what I'm saying? He's a dangerous character. He really is. A dangerous character. We've got people like that running our nation. We've got people like that running our nation, I should say. And so we've got the agnostics. Then we got some other things, and we'll turn this around, put this, you know, there's the beliefs of God, how they to believe, and there's what we call the pantheist, or the pantheism. Now, amen. Have you ever heard of the pantheist? I've been over this before here at this church, but I'm going over it again. A pantheism. What's pantheism? It means that everything is God and God is everything. Amen. That's what they say. Have you heard that kind of doctrine going around in this country? I have lately. Amen. If you think about it, everything's God, God's everything, you know, just that's basically where we're coming to. And people are looking at this called pantheism. And then we have polytheism. You know what polytheism is? It's the belief in many gods. They believe that there's a lot of gods. Matter of fact, they even teach in polytheism, they teach that some of the gods, there's gods for some of the gods. Now, how about that? We can just get so far out in left field. Amen. You say, why do I need to know all that? Well, just to know who you're dealing with, I guess, around you. And know who you're living among. Brother, we're living in a nation like this. You'd think this would be in other countries, but it's here in America. And then we got into another little term. I'll put this one down tonight. It's called tritheism. T-R-I-T-H-E-I-S-M. Tritheism. Now you just kind of figure that for a minute. That means that that doctrine means that there's three gods. That's what they say. Tri means three. And theism, you talk about that belief in God. So what they're looking at tonight is that there's three gods. In other words, they'll say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, three gods. Now the Mormons have a kind of modified view of that, but they hold more to it than anybody else. And then they have a modified view of that. I'm not going to get into their doctrine tonight. I'm trying to put out some literature on them. But I'm saying to you tonight, they're the ones that come to my mind right quickly. I'll try to believe in tritheism. And then we have another crowd that believes in dualism. D-U-A-L-I-S-M. That word dual means what? Two. Dual means two. And so that means that they believe that there's two gods. These people that are dualists, that call themselves in the dualism, what they say is there's two gods. There's one God that's bad. There's one God that's good. And both of them have equal power to the other. So there's two gods, one good and one evil. Now they talk about that, and I want to tell you something. There is an evil force. There is a holy force. God is holy, and God is not equal, nor is the devil equal to God. Amen. Brother, I want you to know God has not been created. He didn't have to make himself. He always has been. And the devil is a created being. So in the word of dualism, it's not there. Now, then we got another, and we'll see, it's called monotheism. Mono means what? One. That means that there's one God. That's the doctrine of one God. Amen. And we'll find that over in the book of James. Turn to James chapter 2 and verse 19. How many gods do you believe in? Amen. How come you don't worship one then? Amen. I got you, didn't I? James chapter 2, verse 19. He said, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." There's one God. You believe that? There's one God, one Lord. I believe that tonight. Monotheism. Now, theism is the belief of a personal existence of God. That's what it means. And there's a way tonight that everybody knows that there is a God. And God's put it in us. Number one, God has given us Scripture to tell us that there's a God. Amen. You said, but what if you don't have Scripture? If you don't have the Bible, God's given something else. He's given human reason. Amen. Human reason. If you'll just stop to think out, this world couldn't just have popped up. Human reason will let you know. If you've just got a half sense, amen, you can figure out that this world just didn't pop up one day. When somebody said we had a big explosion and it all happened, and that was just a big bang one day, why, anybody with good reason can figure out that couldn't be so. Amen. Amen. I believe that. And then God puts a conscience on the inside of you. And then He's got the creation, like, to look at out there, and goes along with the reason that the creation out there lets you know that somebody had to make that. And so monotheism says that there's one God. And then we can break that down into monotheism a little bit and talk about the Trinitarianism or the Trinity. Amen. And brother, the Trinity means that there's one God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now you know where we're getting our doctrines from tonight, from the Bible. And we begin to see that, and it's studied in the Scriptures. Now let me just show you, God put in common sense how that you ought to believe in the Trinity. And thinking about the rivers. To have a river, you've got to have a fountain somewhere. And the fountain runs down, makes a stream, and then the stream gets into the rivers, does it not? And so you'll find that's the way it goes. If you have rain, so forth, you've got the cloud that gets in the sky. You have the rain that falls, then you have the mist that comes up from it, if you will. Notice on a hot day, and you'll see that, brother, it's in threes. We look at it. And you talk about a triangle. You know what a triangle is, don't you? Amen. We teach our kids it's a three-pointed object. And if you take any one point away from it, it's not a triangle anymore. Amen. And so you've got to have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost to have a triune God. Amen. One God manifest into three persons. Amen. You know, I've talked about that. The Bible teaches us about it. There's a body, there's a soul, and there's a spirit. Amen. Now, I want to talk about the nature of God just for a minute. We're going to use our Bible a little bit. Turn over in John chapter 4 and verse number 24. We'll get rid of these names. We won't have to go back to them no more. And we won't deal with these names, but we're going to deal with things now about God. You want to know a little bit about God? Amen. You said, I think I know a little bit about Him. I do too, but it's very little. Every day I find out I know less and less. I thought I knowed a lot about Him a long time ago, and then I found out I know less and less. The more I get in the Bible, the less I find out I know about God. John chapter 4, Look with me in verse number 24. You want to find out who God is, what God is? The Bible says this, and you probably can quote it when I said verse 24. John 4:24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So first of all, we know that God is a spirit. Amen. You don't see God, but you feel His presence. You can't feel God with your hand, with touch, but you know He's there. Amen. You said, how do you know He's there? Well, let's just kind of get a little ideas about this. I think about the indwelling. There's some indwelling. When you're lost in sin, some folks, and I say out there in the world tonight, they're indwelt by Satan. Are they not? They're filled with the devil. They're indwelt by Satan himself. He possesses them. He controls them. He motivates them. He moves them. He puts them in the things that they do. He causes them to live the life that they live because He's indwelt in them. And then, of course, it takes the casting out of the Satan out of them to change that. And then there's some that's maybe not indwelt by Satan, but they're indwelt by sin. And sin is on the inside. And the reason they do what they do is because they're indwelt by sin. Sin is on the inside. It's never been taken out. And then one day the Holy Ghost of God speaks to them. They get under conviction. They give their heart and life to Jesus. See, that was a time either you was indwelt by Satan or you was indwelt by sin. And the evil forces of this world had you and under control. And you belonged to Satan. You were of your father the devil at that time. Amen. Ain't you glad you changed families? Ain't you glad you got a different father tonight? Amen. I'm glad I'm not there where I used to be. And so I believe when God changes us, that's what He does. He takes us out of a family of the devil. He takes us out of the realm of sin. Amen. I think I've talked about this before. We'll find in the Word of God that God takes away the penalty. He's already paid the price and took away the penalty of sin when He saves us. Amen. God the Father sent His Son. His Son died on the cross of Calvary and paid sin's debt so we would not have to pay the penalty of sin. And now today God gives us the power over sin. We don't have to sin. If you do sin, He said, I have an advocate. Amen. In 1 John. And He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we do sin, we have an advocate. And so we find today that God can take care of the power of sin in our life. How does He do that? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Had Jesus not rose on the third day, we'd still be in our sin. Even though He had paid sin's debt would still have His hands upon us. But when Jesus rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, the price has been paid in full. And brother, His resurrection, now He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And by His life tonight, we have power over sin. We don't have to sin. Amen. Amen. Said, preacher, I have to every day. No, you don't. The devil's trying to hoodwink you. You don't have to sin. You said, but I do. Yes, and I do too. But I don't have to. We have the fellowship with God, and God can keep us from it if we'd only allow Him to. Amen. The devil can't do no more than God allow. And what's happening is we are giving ourselves and yielding over to the devil, and so therefore he's bringing us into temptation. We're falling for it. Now, one of these days He's going to take us out of the very presence of sin, and He's going to do that by His coming. Amen. So His death, His burial, His resurrection, His coming again has taken care of our sin and took us out of the being indwelt in sin and indwelt by Satan. So what happened? God put something else in us. When the devil moves out, something else has to go. Listen, we're not lonely. Amen. We've got somebody with us all the time. If you're lost, you've got the devil with you. But if you're saved tonight, you got the Lord. Now we were indwelt by Christ, are we not? He moved in. The Lord moved in. Something else, we're indwelt by the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God guides us and directs us and leads us. But the Bible said that God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Have you seen God lately? Amen. Can I tell you, I'll remind you, I know you know it. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath what? Declared Him. In the book of John, chapter number 1, that's what we find. We find in the Old Testament that people wanted to see God, and God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and went by. Amen. And all Moses saw was the hinder parts of God, and his face shone so bright. Think about that tonight. That he had to put a veil on and come back down off the mountain. I'm saying to you tonight, we haven't seen God. And God is a spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. That's an attribute of God. I don't have time to spend all night on that, but I want to give you two or three more so quickly. I'll give you a couple more and we'll go. Not only is God a spirit, but look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. These are important to know. And we're talking about the doctrine of God. This is theology, by the way. You're in a theology class tonight. Amen. You said that somebody asked you what to, well, we taught some theology last night. Amen. Blow their minds. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible said, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Not only is God a spirit, but God is light. Amen. In Him there's no darkness in God. Darkness is of the devil. Darkness is of sin. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. In John chapter 1, we said part of it a while ago, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. I want you to know tonight, He's the light. So we look at that. Then the Bible said that the light shines in the darkness, and darkness what? Comprehended it not. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 1, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. What is one of the first things that God said? Let there be light. And God is light. So we look at those things tonight. God is light. God's a spirit. Amen. You want to have a description? Now why does God say tonight that thou shalt have no other gods before me, and then thou shalt make no, any images? Amen. We're not to make images before God. Any graven image. We're not to. Why? Because we don't know what God looks like. And if we made anything like God, we'd make it what we think God is. These pictures they hang on the wall and put up and say, this is Christ, this is a picture of the Lord, and I seen a Christ in the clouds, and I saw a Christ in my dreams. Hey, let me tell you, how in the world can you see it? No man has seen God. How can you draw a picture of Him? You know what? When you see God, you're going to see Him tonight in your own mind. And that's what you're going to see Him and how you liken Him to. You said, what? How can you describe God? Well, I can. I can describe God to you. Amen. He's a spirit. And He's light. Amen. I got Bible on that. Now you tell me what you got. Now let's look at this. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible said something else about God. In 1 John 4 and 8, it said, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? God is love. Alright, God is a spirit, God is light, and God is love. Amen. And brother, we can just go on talking about that a while, but for the sake of time, I'll give you another one. Look at Hebrews. Back up in Hebrews. We're studying in Hebrews tonight. And so go to Hebrews. And let's look at the 13th chapter of the... Well, let's look at the 12th chapter, excuse me. Chapter number 12 of the book of Hebrews. And as you get to the 12th chapter, I want you to go down to verse number 29. Chapter 12 and verse number 29. The Bible said this very plain, for God is what? A consuming fire. Amen. Now, here's the characteristics of God. Now, can you put a picture on that? Can you put an image on that? I can't. Amen. He's love above all love, fire above all fire, spirit above all spirit. Amen. And we know tonight that He's light above all light. Why is it tonight we call it the Shekinah glory? And the Bible teaches us if we were to see, and that's why Moses was blinded by the presence of God, because He's light. You think the sun is bright, and you look at the sun, and it'll take your eyesight away from you. You'll go blind. But if you saw the presence of God with these old physical eyes tonight, you'd go blind too. That's why we'll have a new body one of these days, so we can see Christ as He really is. Amen. Now, I want to give you this, and I'm going to close. Isaiah chapter 44. I believe there's only one God. Well, you said, amen, that sounds good. Preacher, that sounds good. But now, why do you believe that there's one God? Because I've been preaching it? Because somebody else has taught you? Because Mama said it? Hey, well, let's look and see what God said about it. I like when God even talks about Himself. Amen. He's got the right to brag about Himself. I don't have a right to brag about me. I've never been nothing, but God had never been bad. Amen. He's too good to be bad. He's God. He's right and right, righteous and holy. Isaiah 44. Here's three places in the book of Isaiah that you ought to keep record of and keep it close to your Bible. I've got these three verses marked. First of all, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Notice what God said. I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. There's not but one God. God tells you that here. Amen. Now slide over to chapter 45 and verse number 5. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is what? None what? None else. There is no God beside me. God said, hey, don't even try to look. There's none else. You said, now God is emphatically making a statement tonight, and He don't have that right. Oh, yes, He has the right. He said, there's none but me. And why are you looking any further? Why don't you just recognize He's God tonight? And then Isaiah 46, chapter 44, 45, and 46 of Isaiah, God tries to show us this. In 46, verse 9, He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Praise God, that's enough, isn't it? You said, oh, preacher, that's Old Testament scriptures. Yeah, I know it is. What's wrong with it? Amen. I mean, wouldn't that be something if we didn't have nothing but the Old Testament? Would that make it change? Would it make a change tonight? No, He'd still be God. Well, just kind of slide over into the book of 1 Corinthians, please. For you Old Testament folks that can't get a hold of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians and verse number 4. And see what happens. The Bible said, it's concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. But what? One. There's one God tonight. You said, well, that's if you take the Bible. That's all I'm taking. I made up my mind a long time ago. I ain't taking Dr. Bottlestopper's word for it. I got the Word. Who needs, when you got the top authority, who wants to go to somebody else? Amen. I'm going to the manual. This is the manual. This is the Bible. And when you go to the top, when you go to the headquarters and find it, why you want to go look up it? Why would I want to look anywhere else and find what somebody else thinks about it? I want to see what God says. So we look at that. I'll stop there. This is just a little thought of where we could head to in theology, looking at God and the doctrine of God. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But we'll hold there. And we'll pick up some more. If we stay on that, we'll be on theology and the doctrine of God for ages. And there are other doctrines. I just want to throw a little bit by you and try to remind you a few things that I'm sure you most of you knew what I've already said tonight. And I'm glad that you do. And I want to bring it to your attention again. We forget. Amen. And maybe somebody in here been looking around. Amen. But there is one God. Amen. I'm glad there is. I'm glad I know Him. But on top of that, I'm glad He knows me. Amen. It'd be something if I knowed Him and He didn't know me, wouldn't it? But I'm glad tonight He knows me. Have you ever been out in the public and people come walking up to you and you see them and you say, hey, how you doing? They look at you like, I don't know who in the world you are. Have you ever had that happen? Now, I've had it happen right opposite of that too now. And they come up and I say, hey, how you doing? And they look at me like, yeah, okay, I'm doing fine. I can see in their eyes that they don't know who I am. And then in a few minutes it dawns on me, they're not who I thought they were. Have you ever done that? Well, I want to tell you something. It's never happened that way with God. He knows me and I know Him. And so we don't get confused. He knows me. Matter of fact, He knows me more than I know Him, because He knows more about me than I know about myself. And sometimes I kind of get confused about what I know about Him. Amen. But I'm glad He knows me. Isn't it good to know? Heads bowed, and eyes closed. We need to know more about God. More about Jesus. Would I know? Praise God. I want to know more about Him. There used to be a song we'd sing. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about my Jesus. I don't remember where it was we sung it. But anyhow, we used to sing that old song. I want to know more about my Lord. Amen. All right, let's stand, please. And while they begin to play, I pray the Lord might take hold of your heart and help you a little bit as we've looked at these thoughts. I don't hardly know how to give an invitation when we on a subject like this. But there might be somebody in here that's not where you need to be with God. Just studying the Scriptures helps you, strengthens you, encourages you, brings things back by your remembrance and your mind. Amen. Maybe you need to come and pray. Be a good thing to do right now. It'd be a good thing to do. How about it? Yes.